Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Going to switch gears a little bit with you, although in some ways not. We were talking about holiday baking with Paul Novak, and we talked about some of the old recipes and some of the old baking traditions, and that's certainly going to be a part of our next show as we visit with Rochelle Pennington. She's an award-winning newspaper columnist, author of, I think, 10 books, many of them on Christmas themes, and her latest is co-authored with her son, Nicholas. It's called An Old-Fashioned Christmas, Tinsel, Gingerbread Men, and Raggedy Ann. Do you remember any of those? I bet some of you do. You might be of an age to remember Howdy Doody Dolls, or maybe you remember Billy the Brownie, or Tinsel. You know, the tinsel used to be made out of lead? Oh, my goodness. That's all in Rochelle's book, and it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, to reminisce about those years gone by at Christmas time of the holiday season. Join in if you've got some of those experiences to share, or maybe you've got a question about them, at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at The Larry Mueller Show. Rochelle, welcome.
Good morning. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you with us today. I appreciate it very much. And I really enjoy going through your book. Now, I don't go back to the beginnings of what you have in your book. And maybe you could just talk about what years, more or less, are you covering here?
Certainly. The book goes back to 1930, and it examines Christmas between 1930 and 1960. It walks readers through the Great Depression, the World War II years, and right into the 1950s.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm about halfway along there is when I join in, I think. But it was really a lot of fun for me to just sort of get reminded of everything that went on back in the 50s and 60s.
They were the good old days, indeed.
Yeah, they were. In many ways, they were. What is it about that time? What is it about this time of year, for one thing, that captivates you so much?
Well,
and then the history.
Absolutely. I just love Christmas. I love the nostalgia of it. I'm a fan of the old images. We tried to include as many as we could in the book, some of the old vintage toy ads, Norman Rockwell paintings, and authentic black and white photographs, many from Wisconsin, many from northern Illinois. The images come from all over, but we really have an emphasis on the upper Midwest. There's just something about Christmas, especially at that period of time, that makes a person's heart feel just great.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And it must have been kind of fun to write this book with your son, Nicholas. What was that like?
Well, he was raised in a house that really honored those old Christmas traditions. We have a very large family. My husband and I, between the two of us, have over 200 first cousins.
So. Oh, my goodness. So there's a lot of traditions, a lot of people to celebrate with.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man. Well, each chapter in the book talks about, because each chapter evokes, I think, a strong memory of the past.
We have chapters on the weather, on winter in the good old days. We have images of tobogganing and fort building, ice skating. That particular photo came from the Milwaukee County Historical Society, ice skating in Washington Park. Several of our photos also came from the Sheboygan Falls Research Center. They have a wonderful archive, hundreds of thousands of categorized photos of life in Wisconsin. We have a chapter on the music, the grand mm-hmm. days of the big band orchestras, the favorites on the radio when gathering around the radio. After supper was a familiar feeling. We have a chapter on the Christmas kitchen, a Wisconsin Electric cookie book. We have an entire chapter on Billy the Brownie, friend of every little kid in Wisconsin from 1930 until 1955. And, of course, we've highlighted the toys you would have found under the tree.
And that was really, really fun to look through, and the likely things to appear under the Christmas tree. I wonder if let's see if any of this brings back some memories. Shirley Temple Dahl, that would have been in the 30s, 34?
Yes.
And a Betsy Wetsy doll. So that goes back. Monopoly in 35. Monopoly is that old.
It is, and it actually very quickly, when it was released, became the number one best-selling board game in the world and has stayed there ever since.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And then the Red Ryder Air Rifle and Viewmasters, that was from 1939. And I'm thinking about the Red Ryder Air Rifle reminds me of Gene Shepard. And Gene Shepard, his piece, I don't know if it was a book or it was just an article that he wrote, A Christmas Story, that was turned into a movie that, your book reminds me of that a little bit.
A little bit.
Of that movie.
Some people think even the cover of the book looks like Ralphie looking out of the window.
and you know, and it airs for 24, I think it's for 24 straight hours. They just run it nonstop on TBS. I think it is on Christmas Day. And my father-in-law and I'll sit there and watch it, and we'll on off and on, so you'll never see the whole thing in one sitting. But you'll see the first part of it, and then maybe later you'll get the last part, and then you'll catch the middle later on in the day. But there's all sorts of little words and phrases and so forth that come from that movie and from his writing, that fragile, if you'll remember that, when he's opening the box. it's Italian, fragile, and it's fragile or something. Anyway, so there's some of that in your book too.
A little bit, yes, a little bit.
We have having some fun talking today with Rochelle Pennington, who is the author of An Old Fashioned Christmas, Tinsel, Gingerbread Men, and Raggedy Ann. She lives in Wisconsin, joins us today in the studio. It's great to have her along. You may have some memories that you would like to share about your old time Christmases. Maybe it's involves the toys, maybe it's the music, maybe it's the weather, maybe it's the relatives. Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show, and you can post a comment or a question there. We'd love to hear from you. Well, what were your Christmases like and holidays like? So have they always been kind of the old-fashioned style, Rochelle?
They have. They had. I was raised in a home with a mother who loved Billy the Brownie so much that she even made a costume and played Billy the Brownie for years and years for our children and now our grandchildren. We were raised in a family where cooking and canning was still important in the early years. Everyone had, you know, a garden nearly as big as the whole backyard. Mm-hmm. So some of those old-time traditions, whether it would be scrubbing up in a tin bathtub as a youngster, I took a bath on Saturday nights in an old tin tub. My mom heated the water on the stove. I remember the white starched shirts and getting ready for church. And
you don't look that old, to be perfectly honest, Rochelle. I got to tell you that. And you don't have to divulge your age, but you sure don't look old enough to have been having a wash in a tub.
That was in the early 60s, yes.
Oh.
And I actually include a photo of me in that bathtub. I only used one family photo in the book. And
that's you in there.
It is. It is. And I neglected to tell my brother Charlie and my sister Brenda that I was putting the photo in the book before the book came out. So,
well, I tell you what, we have some callers online here, and I want to give people a chance to join in. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments, and let's see. Let me get Dorothy on here. I have some problems. Somehow I've got a little problem We'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I want to mention songs, too. Oh, wait a second. Here, we'll get to songs in a minute. I want to get Dorothy on from Florida. Hi, Dorothy.
Oh, hi, Larry. We got to turn our radio down. That was faster than I expected. Well, we've called in about different things, and my husband loves going to auctions. So we were up at an auction in Manitouche Waters, and he loves to buy the box lots. And in one of the box lots was about 7 cans of the old glass wax. And when our kids were younger, he always had stencils, and we decorated our windows with all the winter scenes. So he got onto eBay and just asked if there was anyone finding if he could find some stencils. So he had someone selling unused 1966 stencils. So being snowbirds, he decorated the front windows facing the road, aww, as we did 50 years ago. It was a real conversation piece for the senior walkers who had almost forgotten about the wonderful, simple Christmas traditions of years past.
So this is in Florida now.
We're in Florida now, and when he did this, he had sent this into the Reminisce magazine,
yeah,
and they published it with a picture of the original stencils for 59 cents and the can of glass wax.
Oh, that's great.
That's a great story. Thank you, Dorothy.
We had a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet you did. Did you get some pictures of it?
Yes. The glass wax was a little, had been frozen for a couple of years on and off while it was in this place in Manitouche there. So it was a little runnier, but then he adds food coloring to it to make the colorful scenes. And like I said, our kids are in their 50s now, and that was part of Christmas, was Dad decorating all the windows.
Wonderful story. Thank you, Dorothy.
Sure. Merry Christmas to all of you.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Maddie in Waupaca, on to you. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. I'm a member of the Oneida Indian Tribe of Wisconsin, and a tradition that's gone on in the Oneida community, in both the Oneida Methodist Church and the Holy Apostles Episcopal Church, is the singing of the Te Deum Laudamus on Christmas Eve. And it's a song that's, in the Methodist Church, it's about the only time that it's sung is on Christmas Eve. And it's a chant that's sung in the Oneida language, and the congregation responds with an Alleluia.
I bet that's beautiful.
It is a beautiful tradition, and even as a child, it was my most important part of Christmas. When a soloist would rise to sing the Te Deum Laudamus.
And I wish we had more time. We have to take a quick break, but Maddie, you can hang on if you want. We'll be back with our guest Rochelle Pennington right after this look at the news. The lasting popularity of films like It's a Wonderful Life and newer movies like A Christmas Story show that we get nostalgic for Christmas past. And our guest today has written a book that's chock full of those wonderful memories. Larry Mueller here. So glad you could have us join us today on the Ideas Network. From the simpler toys to made from scratch holiday goodies, there's a sense that those were simpler, maybe even happier times. Rochelle Pennington's book, her latest book, An Old-Fashioned Christmas, is filled with that kind of information. I hope you'll join in. What reminds you of the Christmases of your childhood? What do you still do the same today as you did years ago, or maybe you wish you did the same? Join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And we'll be back right after this look at the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, talking today with Rochelle Pennington, who is the author, one of the two authors of the book, An Old-Fashioned Christmas, Tinsel, Gingerbread Men, and Raggedy Ann. And it's really a look back at Christmas and how it was celebrated here in this country, and with a lot of Wisconsin tie-ins from the 30s through about 1960. And having a lot of photos in it and some good writing as well. But I love the photos and the pictures and so forth. A couple of really nice Norman Rockwells in it, in the book as well. And I'm pretty sure you're going to find something in that book, if you're of a certain age, that you will remember. Or maybe you'll remember your mom and dad talking about, or maybe your grandma and grandpa. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Norma in Manitowoc's been waiting quite a while, so let's go there. Hi, Norma. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Rochelle. I was so pleased to hear Rochelle on the program today. Here at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc, she's our favorite author.
She would be.
And we're looking forward to working with Rochelle. If people love Christmas, we're going to be highlighting Rochelle's work and celebrating Christmas all of the summer and the season of 2012 to commemorate the 100th year since the loss of the Rouse Simmons.
The Christmas ship.
Yes.
Excellent. And obviously, Rochelle, who's been a guest on my show to talk about it, wrote the book.
Yes. And we're looking forward to having her at the museum and her book. So, Rochelle, I want to wish you a merry, merry Christmas and look forward to 2012.
Thanks so much, Norma. The folks in Manitowoc are very special to me. In the old-fashioned Christmas book, I highlight tinsel from the Manitowoc National Tinsel Manufacturing Company. They also produce most of the angel hair for the country. And I began working in Manitowoc with the Christmas tree ship research almost a decade ago already.
Wow.
Oh, it's wonderful. And if people want to know more about how you're going to be involved with that, the Wisconsin Schooner Coast website for 2012 is going to list all the events.
Excellent. And what is it again, the Wisconsin Schooner?
Wisconsin Schooner Coast. They can just Google Schooner Coast, and we'll keep everybody up to date on Rochelle's activities with us and the activities at Rogers Street Fishing Village as well in Two Rivers.
Thanks, Norma.
Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Appreciate it very much. All right. Tom in Madison, let's go to you. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing? Rochelle, I know, loves Christmas trees, and this is a Christmas tree story. When I was growing up in Chicago, around 1959, 1960, there was a park across the street from my house that wasn't owned by anybody. It was the Board of Education, and it's now a park at Foster in Austin. But in those days, people actually rented it out and sold Christmas trees. So every winter, I would wake up one morning, and there would be an entire forest of Christmas trees across the street from the house. And we get the old radial flyer sled out. And it was almost like going into the forest to chop down a tree. And my mom and dad would take me over there. And we'd select just the right tree, strap it onto the sled, and then haul it all the way across the street to put it back up again.
Oh, great story, Tom. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story. And you do, in your book, you go into some detail on the Christmas tree and gathering it and also trimming it.
Yes, absolutely. We have Noma lights in, bubble lights, going back to the 30s, real candles, which were actually lit on the tree. Who remembers popcorn chains with cranberries, paper chains adhered with homemade paste that mom made in the kitchen with flour and water?
Mm-hmm.
We even talk about those faulty light bulbs where you'd have to check and recheck if the whole strand went dark.
There's always just one bulb that was, if one bulb went, they all went.
One for all and all for one, yes.
And those bubble lights, I remember them. I think my grandma had those.
They were a favorite in the 40s, Larry.
Yeah, my grandmother had those, and they bubbled.
They did.
They're hard to describe, but you got a picture of them in the book?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
There's a picture in the book of those. Yeah. Something certainly fun to look at. Harlene in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Harlene.
Hi. Well, several things. I date back quite a ways, so remember all of these things you're talking about. But lived on a farm, and most Christmases, the Christmas tree was just a pine bough that had been cut off from one of the large outdoor trees and then put in a bucket in a corner and decorated from there. Mm-hmm. And I used to be able, many years ago, to do really high kicks, and we had a Christmas bell that was hung from the light fixture in the living room. And I tried, and I tried. I was always about an inch short, and all of a sudden, one time, I kicked, and the darn thing just swung away. I didn't know that my dad had lowered it about 2 inches. And they got quite a kick out of that. So,
well, now, what kinds of presents did you get back in those days?
Oh, dear. Usually small things, and I had an uncle that was a carpenter, so he would make, you know, small wooden toys and so on, although I remember he also made my mother an ironing board, a wooden one, and you could put it at a 45-degree angle, and at Christmas time, if the ironing board was in there, my dad would lift me up and let me slide down that.
In fact,
whenever I have a lot of papers to sort or medicines to sort out, I get that out as my spare table, and I still have the bell too. It's very faded. I do have that bell, and I have a few of those holders for the actual candles that used to be put on the trees too.
Yeah, it's something you never get away from or do away with for sure. Rochelle, comment from you?
Absolutely. I really appreciate her speaking about the homemade gifts, because we can hardly talk about this period of time, the 30s, 40s, and 50s, especially the earlier decades, without talking about all of those gifts that didn't come from a store shelf because they were simply unaffordable in the war years and during the Great Depression. And people thought of a gift not necessarily in terms of something you bought, but rather in terms of something you made, where there was this personal investment of time on behalf of the giver. A hat with a pom-pom on the top, or maybe it's a dollhouse you remember, or one of the sock monkeys made from the red-heeled socks from over in Rockford. So many of the gifts were homemade. The new dolly might have been an impossible wish to grant, but there still could be a new dress for the old dolly sewn by mom, or a teddy bear with button eyes.
Or a little top made carved out of a wooden spool, thread spool.
Yes.
I've got a couple of those, too. So anyway, there were a lot of good memories from back then, but I don't think many of us would want to go back to those kinds of Christmases now. I think that the things we have today, we can do not necessarily little toys and so on, but maybe some nice homemade sewn something or knitted something. Mm-hmm. And
I think you're partly right, but I think there are some aspects of the old-fashioned Christmas that people might want to hang on to.
True. But it's a good time for remembering.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, Arlene. Appreciate it. And Nancy in Grafton, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for calling.
Well, good afternoon. This isn't a very happy story, but on December 17th in 1949, my mother and dad were coming back from Wausau. We were farmers. They finally bought a bedroom set. Everything went for the cows and the tractors and machinery. But finally, my folks bought a new bedroom set, and it was going to be delivered on the way home. A drunk driver didn't stop for a stop sign, and he hit my parents' car, and my mother was killed.
Oh, my goodness.
I was the oldest one out of six kids. Our baby was three, and next, Morris was 4 1/2. And so, being 14... my dad was in the hospital. We went past that corner the next morning at Sunday to go to Mass, and my dad's car was behind a tavern, which is the corner where it was. It turned out to be my now husband's father's tavern. Anyway, we went to church, and the priest said that Virginia Crawl had been killed last night. And then I had to go to the funeral home and pick up my mother's casket. I went with my uncle.
Oh.
And then I went to the hospital to see my dad, and he was all cut and bruised and everything. And he said, "What are we going to do now, Nancy?" I said, "I don't know, Daddy, but we're going to make it." Mm. And, you know, then my mother was buried on December 21st, which was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And today is her birthday on the 22nd. She would have been 32 years old on the day after her funeral.
Mm.
So then my little brother Glenn was supposed to take baby Jesus up at midnight mass. And the nuns had given my mother some material to make an angel costume. And it was laying on the treadle sewing machine, and my mother wasn't there to make it. And they said, oh, we can find somebody else to do this. And I said, no, I think I can do this. I'm 14, you know, I'm going to do this now. I'm in charge. And I cut out this angel costume, and there was some sticky gold lamé stuff that you put around the cuffs of the dress. And the needle, the thread kept breaking, and I cried out, Mama, help me! And I thought, now if I put some tissue paper over and above it, under and above, it might work. And it did. And my brother carried baby Jesus up to the crib. And then after that, then my dad said, you know, he says, we won't have a Christmas tree this year. And I said, but Daddy, I said, the little kids want a tree. I wanted a tree. And my dad went out in the woods, and he cut us a Christmas tree, and we had a Christmas tree, but Christmas is always, it happened like last night. It doesn't go away. But, you know, my dad did a wonderful job. He raised six of us kids by himself on a 160-acre farm up there in Marathon County, and he did a wonderful job. We all got married. We all had kids. We all stayed going to church. Nobody got divorced. And my father died at 96 and a half. But, you know, you can make it. You can make it. And we never had much for Christmas, but I guess we had each other. And happy birthday, Mama, up there in heaven. God bless you all.
God bless you also.
Thank you, Nancy. What a story. Wow. It's a... I don't know if we call it a wonderful, it's a wonderful story in some ways. It's a very sad story in some ways, but sounds like she was a very strong young girl at 14 years of age, probably turned into kind of the, not the mom, but probably the gal who did a lot of the housework and took care of the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there were probably a lot in your book. There are probably, you know, there was, you talk about the warriors.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, and that resilience, that determination.
Yeah.
It's a product of those generations where you learn those lessons of waste not, want not. A penny saved is a penny earned. You knew how to save for a rainy day and how to shoulder up and make the best of your circumstances while still retaining that spirit of gratitude.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to hear some more stories, remembrances of Christmases past, either gifts or music or what happened at home or what happened with the relatives. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page and you can post there at The Larry Mueller Show. And we had an email from Conrad from Mineral Point, 61 years old. His parents always included more homemade gifts at this time of year than store-bought ones. One year, his father made a huge Lincoln log set using just his table saw.
Oh, wow.
Man. And the neat thing is that I've kept it all these years. And furthermore, I'm right now in the middle of boxing it up to give a friend's two grandsons who are 4 and 6 years old. And so...
Very good.
And
very
so
good.
Conrad says, thanks, Dad. that's a great story.
Lincoln Logs were a favorite, and Tinker Toys.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln Logs produced nearby in Chicago and invented by Frank Lloyd Wright's son, John, so little kids could build and dream, just like his father did.
So, I didn't know. Was that in your book?
Yes, we have all kinds of history trivia.
I love those things.
Where cowboy suits came from and puzzles. And as an example, Barbie has an official name, an official birthday, and an official hometown. It's right here in Wisconsin, Willows, Wisconsin. Her birthday is March 9th. Her full name is Barbie Millicent Roberts. We have trivia on Howdy Doody, a favorite. He lit the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree in 1953. He even ran for president in 1953. 48 and said if he...
Beat somebody, too.
Yes.
Henry Wallace. Maybe he got more votes than Henry Wallace got.
He did.
And then, of course, the classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, which I don't know how many times I've seen it, maybe 50 times I've probably seen that. It was, as you point out in the book, it was a box office disappointment at the time.
It was.
Nominated for 5 Academy Awards, I think, but didn't win anything, I don't believe.
It really gained in popularity as the years went on.
And now it's considered, a classic, one of the great films.
Yes.
Jimmy Stewart and, oh my goodness, who was the female lead? I'm blanking! Oh my, Donna Reed.
Yes.
And The really interesting thing that I didn't know that I learned in your book was that Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street were named after Bert the police officer and Ernie the taxi driver in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. I thought, oh my goodness, I did not know that. How do you come up with all this information, Rochelle?
I just love Christmas, and I love the history of Christmas, researching the stories behind, whether it's, you know, a story behind a singer at the time or a story behind how a toy was made or why it was made or the rations, the different toys that weren't even produced, where little kids had to amend their Christmas lists. They couldn't ask Santa for a new Lionel train during those 1940s Christmases during the war. They didn't. The government went into factories and shut them down and said, you're no longer producing. In this case, Lionel Trains, you're now going to produce, fill in the blank, on behalf of the war effort. So little kids couldn't ask Santa for a new Schwinn bike. Rubber was needed for the tires, and that was a ration commodity. Metal was needed for the frame. Ladies couldn't wear nylons. Those were rations, so you couldn't wear your nylons to the Christmas parties. You needed to decide how far you were going to go for your Christmas visits. Gas was rationed, 4 gallons a week, later reduced to a mere 3. So the rations really affected Christmas in so many different ways. It certainly affected the Christmas kitchen. Sugar mm-hmm. was rationed, butter was rationed, meat, coffee. So yeah. There were these ration cookbooks, sugar shy, so cooks would still have recipes for making cookies and candies and all the favorites with as little sugar as possible.
As possible. Tracy in Whitewater, we're gonna go to you now. Hi, Tracy. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm sitting here making meals for a Christmas party tonight, and I was wondering, listening to your show, thinking about whether I had a story or not, and then I started recollecting that the first Christmas tree I remember distinctly getting was with my dad, and we had a horse, and we would ride out to the woods together on the horse and drag the tree back.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, I was about 7 years old, so this is quite a while ago anyway, and when you talk about traditions, in a sense, with my husband, I tried to keep the tradition alive, although with a pickup truck, and going out on our property with our family and our dog, and cutting down a tree on our land. And so it just, the memory popped in. I hadn't thought of it in 40-plus years.
Great memory.
Anything, we saw a deer in our field and just dragged the tree back behind the horse as it plodded along the field. And just a memory I hadn't conjured up in many, many years listening to your show then. So.
Well, thank you so much for sharing it with us. That's a memory. That's the one you aren't going to forget. With your dad on a horse, going out to the woods to get that perfect Christmas tree, and then hauling it back, dragging it back with a horse.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you again, Tracy. Marge in Monroe. Hello to you. Thanks for calling.
Merry Christmas to all there. I am an 80-year-old Czechoslovakian descent, and I grew up in Chicago. Christmas Eve was always spent with my grandparents. My grandmother would fix a special Christmas Eve Czechoslovakian meal of a baked fish and custard and other things. And then we would set up the creche with Grandpa. And off to church we went, but no Christ child in the creche. Mm. We wondered when we were leaving why Grandpa always wanted to check to see if he locked the door, turned off the lights, etc. But lo and behold, when we came back from church, there in the crib was a Christ child. And it took me many years to figure out what Grandpa did with that time. And I relate that story every year to my great-grandchildren now.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Marge.
That is a wonderful story. And here we had every one of our lines full. And we're out of time. Boy, the time really flew by today. And I want to thank you, Rochelle. What's your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite Christmas memory would be very similar to Marge's, with the baby Jesus showing up in the manger on Christmas Eve. And the presents under the tree.
And the presents under the tree, absolutely.
They were put there at the same time when we were loading up in the car.
And your book, I've had a lot of fun reading it. I know people are going to enjoy it very much. It's called An Old-Fashioned Christmas, Tinsel, Gingerbread Men, and Billy the Brownie, Rochelle Pennington and her son, Nicholas. What an appropriate name, Nicholas.
Yes.
For this book. Thank you so much, Rochelle.
Thank you, Larry. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Rochelle, award-winning newspaper columnist, author of 10 books, including her latest, The Old-Fashioned Christmas. And we'll probably have her on again. She'll have another book out and we'll do it again. You won't want to miss tomorrow's show. Santa Claus joins us, and he is going to be answering, telling our youngsters who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio about their gifts. Stay with us.